Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman. I told you on the broadcast yesterday, if you happen to be listening at that time, that the next to the last verse in the first epistle of John has four essential doctrines that God's people need to understand, that I have capsulized, summarized, you might say, in four words. Number one, revelation. Number two, enlightenment. Number three, union. And number four, divinity. And the first two we have examined now on two previous broadcasts. Revelation has to do with God revealing himself in the sending of his Son. It says in verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God has come." That's revelation. He tells us in the Gospels, where the Gospel writers quote the words of Christ, he tells us that he came to reveal the Father. He came to show us the Father. He came to reveal to us the invisible God. He came to reveal God to man in a way that was more clear, more plain, no more perspicuous than otherwise had been possible, which is why New Testament believers have a better understanding of God than Old Testament believers. We'd better. We have more revelation, and that's the whole point. We're talking about revelation. And the revelation is epitomized in the coming of Jesus Christ. We have revelation in the book called the Bible, and again, New Testament believers have more than Old Testament believers because we have two Testaments, not one. So we have a whole lot more revelation in the Bible. But the Scripture is clear that the ultimate revelation is Christ himself. His coming is the ultimate revelation of God. And that's exactly what John tells us here. But there's more. And we'll look at it on this Tuesday, March 19, thanking you for joining us and thanking you for considering our financial needs to continue teaching God's Word on this station. So it starts with revelation, and we know that the Son of God has come, but it continues with enlightenment, because it goes on to say he has come and has given us understanding, that we might know him who is true. The coming of Christ was accompanied with the work of God's Holy Spirit, but the coming of Christ brought us understanding that we might be able to understand who Christ is and why he came and how it is that he reveals the Father to us and what it is about the Father that he reveals to us. And this revelation of God that was given to us, this enlightenment that was given to us, that enables us to lay hold on truth that otherwise would be beyond our grasp, is a precious doctrine. And I told you on the broadcast yesterday that that ability has been given to God's people, and that's the meaning of that word us. He has given to us. John is speaking about himself and other Christians when he uses that word us. That's the way he's used it all throughout this epistle. And that's what he means here. He's given to us, not to us as members of the human race, that is, to all humanity, but to us who are born-again ones, who've been given a special understanding, a special ability to understand the truth about God. But we move to our third word, which is union. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now I read it again from the beginning. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, or rather that we are in him, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Union with Christ. To whom does this apply? Well, to we who are in him. And this reinforces what I said about the meaning of the word us, because the we is another way of referring to the same group as the us. He has given us understanding in order that we might know him who is true. The us and the we are clearly one and the same group. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. And who is in Christ? Believers in Christ are in Christ, that is, are in union with Christ. You see why? It's clear that these pronouns, us and we, cannot apply to all humanity indiscriminately, all humanity in the world at large. It cannot mean that, because that would present us with a false statement, a statement that is clearly false when we get to this statement about union. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Who does that apply to? Does that apply to everyone? No, only to those who have faith in Christ. So backing it up, this reinforces what I said earlier, that this special enlightenment that is given to us, us being the same as we, and has given us understanding in order that we might know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Those to whom this special enlightenment has been given are those who are in union with Jesus Christ. Not everyone is in God, but believers, true believers, born-again believers are. We are in him. And therefore, putting together the different phrases that are used in this text, we realize that to know God, we must be in him. We can't really know him unless we are in him. To know God is to be in him, and conversely, to be in him is to know him. To be brought into union with the one true God. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. Him, that the phrase goes on to tell us, who is true, who is genuine, the one and only true and living God, distinguished from all false gods, visual or imagined, but he, the one true God, has been revealed to us through the coming of his Son and through the enlightening of our minds so that we can understand and lay hold upon him by faith. And those for whom that is true are in him. But the question is, how are we in God? And it goes on to tell us how. We are in God by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. Vital union with the Son is union with God. And the only way to know God is to know him through his Son. We've already seen that prior to chapter 5. We go back to chapter 2 of 1 John. We would read these words, chapter 2, verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. You see that pairing them together there? And this is taught in the Gospel of John, as well as in this first epistle of John. Hear the words of Christ in his high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 21. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one in you, Father, that they all may be one, rather as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." You hear that language of being in God, being in Christ, being in God, this union with God? And of course, that well-known passage in John chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." What do we read when we get to verse 6? Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's an interesting phrase. Now, normally we think of it in terms of by believing in Jesus, through him in that way. But in the light of what we're seeing in 1 John chapter 5, maybe it would be better to understand that the way to the Father is to be joined to the Son. When we are in the Son, then we are in the Father. So let's back up and put it all together again. And we know that the Son of God has come. Blessed truth. The coming of Christ, the incarnation of Christ. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. Blessed enlightenment, that we can know him who is true, can know the true God, the true and living God, not be deceived by so-called false gods and by claims of gods that are all false statements. No, he has given us understanding that we may know him who is true, and in addition to knowing him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. So that puts it all together. To know God truly is to be in him, and to be in him is to be in his Son, and to be in his Son, Jesus Christ, is to be joined to God. We would have to say, since we're joined to God and joined to God the Son, that really what we have pictured for us here is that salvation is union with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are joined to him. We are in him. He is in us, but we are in him. Again, one of those, what should I say, paradoxical statements, mysterious statements that we find in the Bible, and yet that's exactly how the Bible presents it, and both are true. We teach little children that they need to ask Jesus into their heart. Now, that kind of language is not found anywhere in Scripture, but there is this reality that when we truly, savingly believe on Jesus Christ, he comes in to us. He comes in to dwell in us, to abide with us, actually and technically in the person of his Holy Spirit, but because the triune Godhead is all one, when we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we have Christ within us in our heart, and we have God within us, any way you want to put it. But it's not only true that God is in us, it is also true that we are in God. We're so bound up together in the person of God that it can be said that he is in us and we are in him. And that's what it means to know God truly and savingly. If you don't know him in that way, cast yourself upon his mercy and plead with him to do that work within you. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.